Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Hello, I'm Steve Strang, and welcome to this edition of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today, my guest is Mike Bickle. And this month, in the June issue of Charisma Magazine, Mike Bickle is on the cover. And we're going to talk to Mike about his life and the things that are in that issue. So stay tuned after this word from our sponsor.
Hi, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and I want to speak to you on behalf of Evangelical Christian Churches. And if you've ever had a desire to be trained, equipped, and credentialed as a chaplain, you may really want to listen to this message. It's probably now would be a great time to fulfill the call of God on your life. We're still early in the year. You can accomplish so much still in this year of 2016. Becoming a licensed minister will enable you to reach out to jail ministries, hospitals, nursing homes. Maybe you want to do street evangelism or teaching, traveling, going to across the world to minister. Women's Aglow would be good. Maybe even at anti-abortion facilities, counseling, traveling, whatever it is that you've got in your heart, there's no better place to be trained and equipped than Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. Let me say that again, the Destiny School of Ministry Chaplaincy Training Institute. They're going to offer you the opportunity to be trained and credentialed as a chaplain. It's always good to have official credentials. They have correspondence classes and extremely affordable tuition. They're licensed throughout the state of Michigan and fully accredited. You can call them now. They actually prefer you to call them. Their number is 586-773-6568. And one more time, 586-773-6568. The good thing about a podcast is you can back this up and listen to the phone number again. Their website is evangelchristianchurches.com. Check them out there or just call that number. One more time, 586-773-6568 for the Chaplaincy Training Program. Get credentialed today. God bless you.
Well, Mike, we have known each other a long time.
Literally 30 years. And I mean, we've hung out on like regularly for 30 years. So I hope you still like me after all this time.
I consider you one of my best friends, and little would I have known when I met you in Kansas City in the late 1980s that we'd be friends all these years later.
And I consider you as one of my best friends as well.
Well, let's talk about your life a little bit. You were written about in Charisma Magazine. We've written about the International House of Prayer many times. In fact, we did a cover story probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And we realized that we had never done a cover story on Mike Bickle. So we told the story of how you were actually going to be a medical doctor originally. Tell us about that and how you came to the Lord.
What happened is I met the Lord when I was 15 years old. And my youth group, which was really involved with Campus Crusade, it was a Presbyterian church. And it was a Campus Crusade church because my pastor was Bill Bright's first disciple at UCLA. But anyway, so I'm in context to a Campus Crusade church. And so they made us really stress discipleship, so they told us to read biographies, and that's how it started. So I read biographies, and my favorite one was J. Hudson Taylor, the medical doctor, the missionary, who moved, the doctor in England who went to China. I read three of his biographies, because our youth group pushed biography so much. And so I had this idea, I'm going to be a doctor and go to China. I'm going to do what J. Hudson Taylor did. So I'm age 15, 16, 17, 18, and I'm really into that mindset. And so there's 3 6-year med programs in America. Like Harvard has one. I think MIT has one. I'm not sure the second one, but and Kansas City has one. I applied. I'm about 19 years old for the 6-year medical program. Really hard to get into because they had like 8,000 applicants, but only 75 people get in. So it's 100-to-1 chances to get in. And most everyone that applies to these, you know, has a near 4.0 grade average. So it's really hard to get in. So they told me, you know, don't get your hopes up. Well, after a little bit of time, I got accepted. I was 1 of 75, and so I was so excited. It's one of these med schools, 6 years. They go year-round. It goes 6 years, 12 months a year, and when you're done, you're a doctor because you've done your pre-med and your med school all in one thing. And so I got accepted, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is so exciting. Then a man came to me and said, an older brother said, well, have you asked the Lord? I said, why would I have to ask the Lord? I want to be a missionary in China like J. Hudson Taylor, and I 100-to-1 chance to get in. I got in. It is the Lord. He goes, why don't you ask him? And so I asked the Lord, and I gave the Lord a really hard fleece. I don't really believe in fleeces, but I gave him a really hard one, an impossible one. And I won't go into all the story of it, but God answered the fleece in a way that shocked me. And so I knew that I wasn't supposed to accept it. I actually turned down the offer, and the school even called me back and said, young man, do you understand the opportunity you have? Surely you don't really mean to say no to us. But the Lord answered the fleece so powerfully that I knew it was his will, so I shifted my career dream from being a doctor to going into, quote, the full-time professional ministry, and it all happened all in one day. And so I began my trek into full-time ministry.
And there were other things going on in your life back then. You played football at the University of Missouri.
Right.
And also,
well, you know, I say that I was on the team, and meaning there's a difference between being on the team and being a star on the field. So I made the varsity team better because I really was good at practice. Let's put it that way.
Well, you're being humble. Actually, you come from a very athletic background, and you know, because
yes.
I've said this before when you've been around, but I think my listeners would be interested to hear about your father, who is a pretty incredible athlete.
Yeah, well, he was an amateur international champion, as an amateur. I mean, literally international champion in those days, and went to the Olympics in 1952 and won the Golden Gloves, national champion and several times. I don't remember all the details of that. But everyone who knew him knew of him as a boxing champion. Then he was professional for about 5 or 10 years as well. So I grew up in a boxing, professional boxing world. And I was always training. My dad trained me when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, because he went to the Olympics. He said, son, you're going to go to the Olympics and win the gold medal. And he trained me in boxing. So I was always in that vein for years.
And so since this issue of Charisma Magazine came out, of course, everyone knows that Muhammad Ali has passed away. What are your thoughts about that, you know, since we're talking about boxing?
Yeah, well, I always liked Muhammad Ali. My dad did not like him at all because he was so outspoken and so, of course, it was part of his brand. But, you know, the old 1940s and 50s boxers, they didn't have this brand idea. You know, Muhammad Ali was one of the first ones to come up with that. It was actually brilliant, but my dad did not like him. He thought, because he danced around and, you know, made jokes, and he goes, and my dad's kind of hero was Rocky Marciano and people like that, you know, kind of hardcore, blue-collar boxers, you know.
Well, that's a world.
So he never liked Muhammad Ali, so I had negative all those years about him, but I always secretly liked him. He kind of had that flair, you know.
Well, that's a world I know nothing about, but I do know about the ministry world, and it's just been interesting to watch your career over the years and how you started first in St. Louis. In fact, a friend of mine told me, you need to hear this guy named Mike Bickle. I'd never heard of you, and he gave me a cassette tape. And I listened to it in the car, I remember, and you talked about how the Lord led you from St. Louis to go to Kansas City and how there are all these prophecies, and the prophecies were coming to pass. And this would have been in the late 1980s.
And that friend was Ron Tucker, I'm imagining.
It was.
Because me and Ron are very dear friends. Matter of fact, he came to my house for dinner a month ago from St. Louis. He drove all the way to Kansas City, and we talked about all those days just about a month or so ago. So this is kind of fun for me even to hear you say it.
And then you built a church that started off in kind of an affluent part of Kansas City, and you felt that the Lord wanted you to move to Grandview, and there were prophecies that you would impact an entire generation. Tell us about those days and kind of the evolution of your ministry.
It was 1983. I'd been in St. Louis for 7 years, and now the Lord says move to Kansas City. So it's 1983. I'm 27 years old. I started a new young adult church in a very affluent part of Kansas City. I mean, the houses around our neighborhood were like million-dollar houses, and back then that was a bit more than it is now. And we had a we had about 500 young people in our joined our church. Probably the first 6 months, we were at 500 people. Mostly they were 20s, mid-20s, doctors, lawyers, professionals. We had 10 Kansas City Chiefs football players coming. It was really fun. I mean, it was a blast. And then this strange man named Bob Jones, he walked into my world. And many, I think, of those that are listening with us here, they know the name Bob Jones. He's with the Lord now, but in a pretty influential prophetic ministry. And he walked into my office. I have no idea who he is. And he tells me that I'm going to, one of these days, lead a ministry of 24-hour prayer with singers and musicians. And I said, no way. I go, no, I have no interest in this. And then he made the one more thing I'll say, because I could go an hour on that point, but of all that he said to me, but he said, you're going to move from this affluent part of Kansas City, which was Overland Park, Kansas, and you're going to move about 15, 20 minutes down the road, and you're going to be on Harry S. Truman's property over in Grandview. And that was the oddest statement to me, because Grandview is a very blue-collar town. I mean, it's about 20 minutes from Overland Park, and Overland Park's very affluent. And I said, we're going to move to Grandview, the blue-collar town? And I said, why would we do that? I said, my people don't really shop over there. And he laughed, and he goes, oh, they will. He goes, because you're going to move on Harry S. Truman's property, something like that. And I said, why would I care about moving on Harry S. Truman? I go, you mean the president who died? He goes, yes. He goes, because this man, Harry S. Truman, was so committed to Israel. And that was a new idea to me. And he went on about how he was used by God to help Israel become a nation in 1948, and he was a political intercessor for Israel. And none of that made sense to me. I just said, so? I don't care. And he goes, well, what you don't know is your ministry of singers and musicians one day, many years from now, you're going to be praying for Israel. You're going to be spiritual intercessors for Israel. And I just said, you know what, none of this registers to me at all. I thought he was completely a crazy man, honestly. Well, a few years later, we started, 16 years later, we started IHOP. We had 24-hour singers, musicians, and we actually, someone knocked on our door and sold us Harry S. Truman's property, and it ended up, it was given to us free. We didn't pay $1 for it, so we ended up on Harry S. Truman's property as a gift. It's about 150 acres, something like that, right there on the highway, right on an interstate highway. Harry S. Truman's property was ours debt-free as a free gift. So he was right, 24-hour singer and musician prayer, and we're on Harry S. Truman's property. And so we moved to the, you know, we're no longer in Overland Park. We're 20 minutes away in that blue-collar town of Grandview. So Bob was 100% right on that, though I certainly could have never guessed it back in 1983 when he told me.
Well, I've been there many times, as you know, and I've always admired Harry S. Truman, and there is a farmhouse there, I guess kind of their homestead,
right.
Is some kind of, you know, the government owns it, and tourists can visit it and so forth. That whole area is called Truman's Corner, and it is so interesting to review the history and see how the endorsement that Harry S. Truman gave to Israel just moments after they declared their independence made all the difference. And he was like Cyrus in the Old Testament. God used
him.
Well,
even in Israel, they called him Cyrus, who was, of course, the Gentile king who caused Israel to be reestablished, you know, back in 538 B.C. So they, in Israel, they call him Cyrus, a modern-day Cyrus, which is interesting.
It is interesting, and your story is interesting, too. And, of course, in the few minutes we've had on this podcast, we've only scratched the surface. But I encourage my listeners to read the June issue of Charisma if they haven't. And those of you who haven't seen the copy, if you will email us at info@charismamedia.com and just say, Steve Strang said you would send us that June issue of Charisma. If you'll give us the street address, we'll send it to you at no charge at all, and you can read about Mike Bickle. You can also check out things on him on our website. And I'm going to invite Mike to come back and do another podcast and talk about an article that you had in the same issue called How Prayer Reading the Word Can Revolutionize Your Life. And you'll want to tune into that. But before we wrap this podcast up, Mike, I'd like to ask you if you would just pray for our listeners.
Yes, here's what I'm going to pray. There's a promise in Isaiah 33, verse 17, and the Lord says, like, in that day, your eyes will see the King in his beauty. And so I'm going to pray that God would help us, that our eyes would see the Lord Jesus in his beauty in a greater way. So, Father, I pray, Ephesians 1:17, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Father, I pray that every one of our listeners, that you would stir them, you would inspire them, you would enlighten the eyes of their heart. Lord, that we would behold the beauty of our beloved King, the Lord Jesus. The Lord, that as you make his name famous in the earth, that our hearts would be strangely warmed over and over again by who he is and what he's like and his worthiness and his beauty. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you, Mike, for that prayer. Thank you for being with me on this edition of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, that's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.